Hi there, everybody. May I compliment you on your dress? Though it does appear to have a stain on it. Welcome to Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I'm Paul McInnes, and on this week's show, we'll be yanking on Ponytail, if by yanking you understand that we're interviewing this hot new Baltimore band. Laura Barton joins us for Singles Club, where we'll discuss new music from Frank Fairfield, MGMT, and Mike Bones. I'll be laying down the undeniable truth about obscuro rap band Main Source, and we'll be gorging ourselves on your face back. But first, our main guest this week. As birds, they might be extinct, but as a band, they are taking flight. Yes, it's the Dodos.
Our fathers have been entangled in things. He's been squandering, he's been squandering. And we don't do a thing, cause we're busy in day. We're just wandering, we're just a wandering. Like, oh, 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 oh.
That was the Dodos with Fools. Rosie Swash joins me here. Hello, Rosie. Are you well?
I'm very well. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you very much. I'm just quite intrigued, though, as to, like, Dodos.
Yeah.
Would you rather have the band or the bird?
Well, having met the band already, I think I'd quite like to see what the bird looks like, alive and kicking.
Because they notoriously couldn't fly, which is kind of like a fundamental aspect of a bird, really, isn't it? You might find them quite underwhelming. As for the actual band,
yes.
How were they?
They were great. They were very nice.
Because we've been listening to them quite a lot this year, haven't we?
We have indeed. They're a duo, Merrick Long and Logan Krober, and they are signed to French Kiss, which is Le Savvy Fav's label. So obviously that's how I heard about them, being a huge Le Savvy Fav fan. Really beautiful. I mean, they're kind of coined as psychedelic folk, kind of beautiful, weird, very stripped down music, just one drum and a guitar for a lot of it. They came to London earlier this year to play a few shows, which is where I caught up with them. But they've kind of been hyped a bit this year, partly because the album Visitors very popular with people, partly because people see them as a new band, seeing as they just signed to French Kiss. But they've actually been around for a while, and they've had a few releases out, which is what I brought up with them in the beginning.
It's weird when, like, you go from making records that nobody cares about or listens to, and then there's actually, like, an audience. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of pressure. I mean, I think the first record was kind of like we were still figuring ourselves out as a band, and we still are constantly, and just as it comes, you know, it's like baby steps. And luckily people don't like us enough where it's like not that kind of pressure, you know.
Yeah, if we blow the next one, it'll just be like, told you so.
Yeah.
People aren't expecting the world.
Do you think your music has become more accessible by the time you got to Visitor? Do you think, well, what is it, do you think, that's struck a chord with people?
I definitely don't think we tried to be more accessible with the record. I don't know if people are digging super long songs. But, I mean, sure enough, the songs are really poppy, just as poppy as the stuff on the first one. And I think people, with the wider sort of push that we got from having it come out on a proper record label, people were able to connect with the songs on a wider scale.
I'd like to think that some of it has to do with the music, but it is also like we got to see like kind of like the machine of putting out a record and having it promoted and things like that. And it's kind of crazy how much that stuff can really make a difference.
It actually works.
Yeah, regardless of what the music is.
You mentioned there that, you know, the poppy side of things, but you've also mentioned being influenced by West African music. Do you think that a lot of bands now are too narrow in their reference points?
For us, it was like the references to West African music for us. It's kind of one of those things that, like, you say and then you regret it later because it was like, I've played in jazz bands, I've played in a Balinese gamelan ensemble, and they've all had like different effects upon my musical sense and making the music for this band. And particularly like the West African thing was like a year that I spent studying that kind of music, and it was really like just totally changed the way I heard music. And in that sense, it was a big deal. But in terms of like we're borrowing or taking or listening to even contemporary West African music, I'm clueless.
Yeah, definitely. We're not trying to imitate that kind of music.
I mean, I don't even know how it works, you know, like how we write songs. It's like it's a soup, and like West Africans, like just one of the spices, and it's an important spice. It's a good spice, maybe like salt or something, you need it. But it definitely, I don't know how it comes about in our process. Like, I can't chart it out for you. Or
if I was to ask about the other ingredients, maybe the influences that, you know, particular bands or particular songwriters that you've grown up listening to, that influence the Dodos now?
I would say on Visitor, I was always looking for the place to, like, blow up the song, like, to add, like, more, like, aggressive beats and, like, to play harder. Looking for the spot in, like, Merrick songwriting where, like, it could just blow up a little bit more.
I've been listening to a lot of Steve Reich. When I was home for like 10 days or something, I would just put on music for 18 musicians, and it's like the kind of thing where you can just like walk around and like make food and go to the bathroom and like do everything you need to do while it's still playing, and it's just kind of a soundtrack, and it like gets soaked up in your brain. And you know, like, rhythm's like a big deal for me, and kind of in my guitar playing, it's kind of reached this weird plateau. I can't get the sound out that I want, and so I feel like it's shifting to things like more percussive instruments, like vibraphones that still carry tones and bells and things like that. So yeah, I see a big push for the vibraphone in the next batch of songs.
Okay. I was trying to think of what my impressions of the album were when I was putting together these questions, and I kept coming back to the idea of travelling. I mean, I don't know at what point these songs were written. Were you on the road when you were writing? Were you moving around?
A lot of the songs were written on the road when we were touring. A lot of the songs were conceived while on the road, but then they were kind of like developed and finished when we would get back, because it was kind of like touring just kind of built up all these ideas and inspirations and just tension also, and then coming back would be just like an explosion of creative output. I don't know, the moving thing, like I feel like when Logan and I play together, there's always a tendency to like want to move, push it forward. It's also just like a total sort of anxiety, like sort of like gotta get it going, like faster, harder, crazier, sweatier, like. So I feel like that kind of adds to the movement of the album or to something else that I didn't imply.
No. That wasn't it. I was just thinking of like a visual metaphor for the way you were describing it. I was just imagining us as like these sort of LSD addled hippies, like just, you know, sort of running, and that's like the song, and then we run until like we can't run anymore and we pass out in the park. And then we wake up when the sun starts shining, and then we just start running again, and we're even more sweaty and gross than the day before. And then somewhere down the line, the album ends, you know.
I'm not sure you're really selling it as a listening experience.
Oh, no. Well, in between the running, while the acid's still going, there's little moments of total cosmic bliss. But then the cops come, and we have to run again.
You keep us bright, you keep us warm, what I do for you in turn. Under the rain, your face is pale, your lips are red, your eyes are dark, you might be dead, but I will hold you even then, until you breathe and I'm fed. Jolene, my dear, I'm sorry but I must disappear, I leave you with the song.
That was the Dodos, and their album Visitor is out now. They also play the London Shepherd's Bush Empire on November the 11th as part of the European tour.
Thanks a lot, Rosie. And going back to our previous discussion, I suppose that if the Dodos get rich enough as a band, they could actually sponsor an attempt to kind of recreate the Dodo from DNA and make the bird again.
Sure.
But if they did that, you might end up with like some kind of Jurassic Park style scenario where you get huge, bloodthirsty, flightless birds taking over our cities. Okay, speaking of bloodthirsty birds, no, not really. No, seriously, no, not really. No, honestly, not really. Laura Barton joins us for Singles Club. Hello, Laura Barton, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, Paul. How are you?
I'm all right too, thank you very much. You been up to anything exciting of late?
I've been busy doing interviews in the United States of America.
Oh, have you? Yes. Anybody particularly exciting that we should look forward to in the pages of the Garden?
Mr. Al Green.
Oh, Mr.
Reverend Al Green.
Yeah. How was he?
mad as a box of frogs. He just kind of couldn't answer a question very straight, and then he would start singing in the middle of an answer in a way that wasn't particularly relevant.
You should probably get some audio on that for the website then. Right, so as is becoming the custom, we're going to start Singles Club this week with a track you've brought in, Laura. Mm-hmm. Do you mind telling the listeners what it is?
It's a gentleman named Frank Fairfield, and while I was in the United States of America, I saw him supporting Fleet Foxes in New York City. Apparently they're a massive fan of his, and he plays the banjo and the fiddle and stuff. He's kind of very oldie worldy, but I found him really compelling on stage and just odd. He's got an album out next year, and he's signed to Tompkins Square, which have a lot of folk stuff like Charlie Levin and Brad Barr and people like that. This is a song called Darling Corey, which is a traditional song first recorded in the 20s, but it's a kind of new take on it.
They cross the deep blue ocean, they cross the deep blue sea. Oh, bring to me little Corey, wherever she may be.
That's Frank Fairfield with Darling Corey. Frank Fairfield is proficient in banjo, fiddle and guitar and has been supporting the Fleet Foxes on their current US tour. He also looks like George Clooney in Oh Brother Where Art Thou, which obviously doesn't hurt. So dedicated is his passion for old-time Americana that he collects 78 records and has been developing his own gramophone, believe it or not, fact fans. No doubt he also lives in a shack in the woods with his 13 brothers and eats bear for breakfast too. Laura, mm-hmm. This is your choice.
Yes.
Why do you like it so?
I love this kind of music. I love banjo and this kind of the type of music you get at Pickathon, which is a bluegrass festival which I once went to. I just find it kind of restorative in this age of bleeps and clicks and computerised music. I like, you know, people like him and William Elliott Whitmore. And I like this song in particular. It's a tale of a woman who makes moonshine and lives in the mountains and plays the banjo, which is kind of what I like to be when I grow up.
How would you get your shopping?
I wouldn't. I'd just eat rocks.
I really like this song. My one question I have about it is, why listen to this version and not the original?
I find he sounds a bit more twisted and weird, which I kind of like, which is why I like that kind of weird new folk stuff. It's not a straight incarnation.
How has he changed it specifically, you say?
You can tell, I think, if you listen to an original version, that rock and roll has happened in between. It's a little bit faster and his delivery is a little more bluesy, I suppose. I do think you can tell if you listen back.
Or even listen with any attention whatsoever.
God Rosie. Damn it.
Yeah, I love this. I think it's fantastic. I was watching that More Four have got a series called All You Need Is Love, which I keep talking to everybody about, as you know, Paul.
I do.
And you will find out, Laura. So it's a 17-parter, different periods of music and different genres. And the country episode I thought was amazing because what this guy does, Tony Palmer, goes right into the roots of this kind of music. It changed the way I felt about country, which I haven't had a lot of time for. And what I like about this song is it kind of bridges the gap between traditional bluegrass, which I find, to be honest with you, sometimes a little bit soulless. It's very virtuoso. And the blues side of country, which is, you know, the Dust Bowl stuff. In this episode, they talk to this preacher about bluegrass and he says, you know, and I was like, what is it I don't like about it so much? And he said, it's good, clean country music. There's no sex in it, there's no filth. And I thought, sometimes it can be quite soulless. And this, to me, this recording is like full of soul and mystery and meaning. It's great.
He's a bit full of soul and mystery and meaning himself, isn't he? I'd seen this stuff. There's just people reporting about him on blogs and getting quite wild about his supports for the Fleet Foxes, but claiming he's a kind of like a street performer who's been picked up. And
I'm sure we'll find out he's the son of a Hollywood director in no time at all.
But my suspicions, exactly.
I'm enjoying the mystery phase.
Good stuff. Okay, Frank Fairfield has a 7-inch at 45 RPM, I hasten to point out. Available on mail order via Tompkins Square Records now, and as Laura was saying, the album is out next year. Next up on Singles Club is Mike Bones with What I Have Left.
I could marry you with what I have left, but I'm certain you'll do better on your own. I curse my troubled mind, it never ever rests. I can't always be alone.
was What I Have Left by Mike Bones. Mike Bones is the guitarist with New York band Soldiers of Fortune and is sometimes called one of the best axemen in the city. He released his first solo album, The Sky Behind the Sea, last year to, well, general critical disappointment, most of which he posted on his MySpace, including Pitchfork's belief, they gave it, I think, 4.8, that Sky Behind the Sea seems like a willful subordination of talent. Bones cites his musical influences as being Jews and Jamaicans. Rosie.
Yes.
Your choice.
Well, this is not from The Sky Behind the Sea. This is like, I don't know when his next album is due out, but he just sort of put this up on his MySpace a few weeks ago. I also saw the critical disappointment and thought it was very funny that he'd put it up there. I don't know about willful subordination to talent, but what he's known for is being a very accomplished guitarist, rock guitarist, and his choice of solo stuff is obviously, as you can hear, quite simple and not particularly complicated chords or anything like that. So I guess that maybe people were expecting more. With this song, I think he's kind of nailed it. So maybe the first album was him trying this new thing, and this has got the hooks and the moving chord changes and all that sort of thing, make you think, oh, this is really lovely. And it was kind of missing from the album, which, interesting you say, as being influenced by Jews and Jamaicans, because it's actually appears to be quite influenced by his Catholic heritage, because he sings about that a lot. Yeah, but I just think it is an absolutely lovely song, and I really like him as a musician. I think his name is quite apt for him. It's very bare bones of it, you know, it's stripped back. I love it.
I also had that thought with the willful subordination line in this song. It's very much on a leash. It keeps on feeling like it's going to burst into some kind of crescendo, but it never quite does, and it doesn't get any higher than what we just heard. Laura, what's your take on this?
I absolutely love this. I kind of like that combination of sort of gathering elation and melancholy of the lyrics and his voice, and that bit where the strings and the fluttery piano kicks in. That really catches me. I liked his stuff before. There's some footage of him doing the cover of No Pussy Blues, which somebody had sent to me a while ago, and I was looking at it before I came up, and he is amazing. He is incredibly talented.
As a guitarist?
Yeah, I think he obviously just has presence as well, but I think he really does sound, as you say, to have found his niche, I suppose.
We quite often come in here talking about songs that kind of try to get a balance between the sweetness and the grit and how often they miss it, and this one does appear to have it.
Yes,
we are
indeed.
All in consensus. We're all nodding
yes.
along, happy like the Churchill dog in the back of a 4x4. Right, okay, well, that is Mike Bones and What I Have Left, and you can find it on his MySpace, which is /LittleMikeBones. Finally, on this week's Singles Club, it's MGMT and Kids. That's MGMT with Kids. MGMT are Ben Goldwasser and Andrew Van Wingarden, which is probably why they prefer to be known by a four-letter acronym. This is the band's fourth single from their debut album, Oracular Spectacular, which can currently be heard backing every TV programme on Channel 4 all day and all night long. The band's style is sometimes described as psychedelic, so, naturally, their next album is to be split onto two discs, one being pop, the other being psych, and it will all come with a free bag of mushrooms, no doubt. Right, this is my choice, and I just feel it's incumbent upon me to do something dreadfully mainstream and the sort of stuff you will get on a BBC Sports montage. But I also think I do like this tune. It may not be my favourite tune on the album, but I do like the album quite a lot. I think the bass line might be the distilled sound of 2008 in a way. It's got that 80s referencing thing, but it's also got, again, a bit more grit, a bit more glitch in there. They're very good at creating euphoria in their music, and I think that's something that, as a listener, you find it stirring up in yourself. But also it has an emotional resonance, a particular emotional resonance for me, because I got lost in Valencia on holiday this summer, and I suddenly found myself in the middle of a 6-lane highway, not knowing where I was.
And in a car, I heard.
No, on foot. I'd wandered, I was trying to find the beach, and I ended up in the middle of a 6-lane road, and Kids came on my iPod, and I darted in between the traffic, jumped over the barrier, and then kind of like shuffled down this really steep hill. And I made it with no scuffs, no nothing, and I was really pleased with myself. And then I looked up and saw 6 kids stranded on the other side of the road looking to do the same thing, and looking a bit nervous.
So you mean it's your theme tune?
It's my theme tune. It's the Paul McGuinness action theme tune. So anyway, that's my own particular personal take. Rosie, you like?
Yes. People don't know that you make me play it every time you come in the office in the morning.
Hey, kids.
I do love it. The album, Oracular Spectacular, has not as a whole stayed with me, but this is a brilliant single and it still sounds so full of energy and fresh and all the things you were saying. I haven't particularly warmed to MGMT as a band, but I think this is an absolutely cracking pop single.
Laura, talking about bleeps and computer noises earlier, does this warm your bones?
Not as much as the banjo, but no, I do. I actually really, really like this song. And I'm glad that in the clip you played, it had my favourite bit, was where he goes laughing. I like the way he pronounces that. But there was a moment earlier today when I was listening to it in preparation, and it suddenly reminded me of The Bravery. I just want to throw that
short.
I do like it a lot. Yeah.
You were once behind The Bravery, I recall you.
I'm not responsible for The Bravery. I do actually still stand by a couple of Bravery tracks.
But they are now perceived to be an embarrassment to rock,
yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, so The Bravery light there, the MGMT, and you can download, kids, or buy it in the shops right now. Last week, we reviewed tracks from EPMD, Deer Hunter and Grace Jones. Thank you very much to all of you out there on the blog, because you responded ad infinitum, almost. Madrid Mike said the Deer Hunter track was good. Not stunning, but it did prick my ears. The production is minimal and dry, but I enjoyed that. Marquee, I don't really get the Deer Hunter track. The effects and production are too flaky and struggle to hide the hollowness of the piece. They're proof that living a rock and roll lifestyle doesn't automatically imbue your music with the same spirit. Finally, on EPMD, Sol said, nice to see EPMD back. You Gots to Chill and Strictly Business are still strong favourites of mine, and the new track sounds all right enough. Interesting that you chose to play the remix. Is the original not up to scratch?
We did mention that when we reviewed it. We said the original wasn't up to scratch.
It wasn't up to DJ
well,
scratch.
I did anyway, and that this is much better. And that it sounded like the song that I have remembered is Truth Hurts, Addiction by Truth Hurts.
It's
that
so
famous
addictive.
Singer.
Yeah. You think my pages.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. It was one of those kind of
icebox
theory things. Mm. It was at the back of your head all week and then just popped to the front just at the right moment. Tell us what you think of them tracks, what you heard this week. We've got a bit of Frank Fairfield, a bit of MGMT, a bit of Mike Bones, and these other tracks that are out to buy now. John Legend, Green Light. Watch out. The Count and Sinden, Hardcore Girls. Fleet Foxes, He Doesn't Know Why. Seth Lakeman, Solomon Brown. That is it for this week's singles club. You can get it in your actual printed words every Wednesday on guardian.co.uk/music. Laura Barton, thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you both.
Al Green, does he have kind of like a paramilitary wing?
Yeah.
So there is a chance that this might be your last appearance on
yeah,
the podcast.
See
you. It has been great to have you. And please, if you do survive, please come back again. But for now, you must go because we are heading to Baltimore. That's Ponytail with Beg Waves. I don't know what that is. What's a beg wave? Now, Rosie, Ponytail are your spot.
Yeah.
But I'm beginning to get a little suspicious.
Why?
Because after Ray Ray, Dan Deacon, this is the third B-more act you've tipped this year. I put this to you. Do you have some kind of deal with the tourist board? Are you Avon Barksdale in disguise?
Yes. Not even in disguise. Look at me.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
You are the former kingpin of the West Side.
The
West Side smack scene of Baltimore.
I am freakishly interested in the music of Baltimore, so much so that I'd quite like to go there. And it hasn't even got anything to do with The Wire. I know, I work for The Guardian and I'm not obsessed with The Wire. It's weird.
Crazy.
Ponytail, I got sent the CD, saw they're from Baltimore, which saw the amazing album cover to Ice Cream Spiritual and put it on and was just like, what is this? This is amazing. It's like calypso and power punk and ska, and it's so weird and the vocals aren't proper. So eventually Ponytail, all four of them, came to London quite recently and I managed to drag them in the studio. So I kind of get the impression, I've never been to Baltimore, but it's established itself in people's minds over here as someone that's got a bit of a scene, collectives, everybody involved in everyone else's project. Is that what your experience of it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it used to be more like that. I mean, it still has that. You can still sort of do whatever you want, I think, creatively if you want to. But I think a lot of the people who sort of started this scene or whatever and, like, are now, like, touring and doing stuff and not really there. So it's definitely different now.
And this is bands like The Death Set and Dan Deacon. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that right? Or are they just the tip of the iceberg? Or
No, we're really good friends with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there is, like, you know, a core of, like, maybe 50 or 60 people. But, you know, that makes up maybe between, like, 10 and 12 bands that are really close with each other and participated in, like, kind of creating something that, you know, everyone was very, I guess, hungry at the same time. And now it's kind of, we have to, like, keep our promise and, like, to the world and, like, actually, like, keep going, like, outside of Baltimore.
Yeah. I'd say there's, like, maybe half of that, like, maybe, like, five bands who are active.
Yeah.
And then the other five are, like, just chilling in Baltimore, maybe still figuring out a record or something. And everybody else is, like, traveling.
I mean, is that how did you guys actually meet each other? Was it just from being involved?
No. We were put together in a class. It was a class called Parapainting. And, you know, the objective of the class was to form a band. But the catch was that the teacher, the professor of the class, picks out the members of the bands. So all the students of the class was sitting in a circle in the room, and he would be standing in the middle, looking around 360 and be like, all right, you're a hot chick, and you're a hot chick, you're a band. You look good, you're a band. we were actually the last few people remaining.
you're like a grunge band.
Yeah.
You look grungy. Or you're like a weird hippie band.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Both of you had dreadlocks. Band.
The teacher picked you out for being in a band. How did you come about saying, well, this is the kind of music? I mean, your music actually kind of sounds like four people who've never met before crashing into a studio together and kind of coming up with a sound. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Pretty accurate, yeah.
Individually or as a group, what kind of performers and musicians do you think that you're channeling based on influences when you were listening to them as you were growing up? Or
I really like Pete Townsend, and but then I really like Brian Wilson and Freddie Mercury. But that's just kind of a really general.
Yeah, I'd say it's like far as like influences for this band, like goes back to classic rock, kind of. I think because that was just sort of like what I listened to growing up, Grateful Dead and stuff like that.
Yeah. I remember starting out, we met up in a cafeteria the first time we met, and we asked each other what we were listening to. And I think Jeremy said Lightning Bolt, and I could really tell by his drum, the way he played his drums, and then that he was really influenced by Brian Chippendale. And I think Ken said classic rock. And Molly said IDM.
Yeah.
And I said the Beach Boys or something like that.
So you've been going for how many years now?
Since January 2005, so like coming up on 4 years.
And so I would like to know from each of you what you've learned about yourselves the last few years, isn't it?
How much time do we have?
Forever.
Yeah, yeah. Touring is like such a reflection of yourself, and you can really tell who you really are. Like, when touring America and stuff, it's like, wow, I have so many bad sides. And I can be really impatient. I can get flustered and totally break down.
I think, like, you know, that same after touring and after playing more and more in bigger places and to different crowds, I've kind of realized that the same things that made me happy 4 years ago or something are pretty much the same. Like, the goals that I set weren't really practical or important, and I'm still kind of trying to figure out, I think all of us are, like, what makes us happy as a band. And it's, you know, it's mainly making music.
Ditto from the rest of you.
Yeah, I feel like the first thing I learned was that just in performing and making music, like, it's always best if you sort of let your ego go, like, let yourself go, sort of, and then, like, you'll find even, like, a better self or something. I feel like we all become like caricatures of ourselves. Like, we all know each other like too well, and like sort of like siblings or something.
Sounds really cliche, but just like life on the road and just like moving from place to place, sleeping in different beds and making sure that you get like you're in a good, trying to stay in a good mood and get along and have fun. And I'm just really proud of us, and it's been fun.
It's great. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Ice Cream Spiritual is available now.
Thank you so much there, Rosie Swash. As you'll know, you the listener that is, we've been running a new item on the show for a few weeks where we Guardian and Observer music types talk about acts we like that might just have disappeared from the pop radar, if indeed they ever got on it. We've also asked you for your suggestions to name the flipping thing, but despite some valiant efforts, we haven't quite got there. Until now, that is. Yes, Portishair, which is... it's a funny enough name in itself, until he reveals on the post that his name is actually Ken. Portishair, a.k.a. Ken, has made three suggestions. Ken's favourite part is one, which does what it says on the tin. Very Ron Seal. Another one is not quite golden oldies. A microphone just mysteriously dropped from the sky. Was that the finger of God saying we must call it not
Al
quite
Green.
Golden oldies?
Yeah.
Al Green after Laura. I'm afraid she's already left. The third suggestion from Ken, a.k.a. Portishair, is sniffing old glue. Now, I like that because it references the quintessential punk fanzine, Sniffing Glue, but also the idea of having to actually sniff old glue.
It should be quite hard.
Yeah, it wouldn't even get up your nose. Yeah. It would just be really annoying and quite disappointing. Which brings us on to our feature. This week, it's me. I'm talking about Main Source, a hip-hop act that I loved back in the day. They didn't make an awful lot of music, and I'm about to explain to you why.
We fight every night, now that's not kosher. I reminisce with bliss of when we was closer, and wake up to be greeted by an argument again. You act like a 10, so immature. I try to concentrate on the cure and keep looking at the front door, thinking if I were to evacuate, you'd probably be straighter than straight and wouldn't have so much hate, cause you don't know the pain I feel when I see you smiling, and when I roll up, you start wilding.
Main Source didn't last for long as a group, comprised of two hip-hop DJs from Toronto, Sir Scratch and K-Cut, and one MC from Queens, who went by the rather fly late 80s name of The Large Professor. They only made one album, at least only one album that ever saw the light of day. Fortunately for them, that album was Breaking Atoms.
I'm looking at the front door. Baby, I'm looking at the front door.
91 may or may not have been the golden age of hip-hop, if such a thing exists, but it was certainly a point in time when producers, such as Large Professor, aka Extra P, aka Large Pro, were experimenting with the form and making music that was richer and more daring than what had preceded it. While big iconic tracks by groups like Public Enemy and Eric B and Rakim often relied musically on nothing more than a James Brown loop, Main Source, alongside Native Tongues acts like De La Soul or the Jungle Brothers, were splicing elements from several places in the one song. Tracks like Looking at the Front Door or Just Hanging Out follow this template, as does Live at the Barbecue, a posse cut, which features the first ever appearance and record of Nas. But perhaps the best example of Main Source's work is the one track that they released as a group after Breaking Atoms, the final release before Arguments and Egos caused the group to split, with a Large Professor refusing to speak again to them two DJs. That track came out on the soundtrack to the lost and unlamented Woody Harrelson basketball vehicle, White Men Can't Jump, and was called Faking the Funk. Sadly, was it though. The group split. Large Professor went on to have a successful career as a producer and nostalgic rapper. So Scratch and K-Cut released another album under the name Main Source. It was called Fuck What You Think. Nobody bought it. And I can't feel down on the real of real. Now I'ma let you know, but those freestyle of rap, it's time to go. I eject, rejects that step. I'm a vet ready to snap. That was Main Source, that was Sniffing Old Glue, the new section as named by Ken, aka Portishair. You too could name a section when we come up with one by posting on our blog at guardian.co.uk/music/musicblog, or becoming our friend on Facebook, or probably emailing Rosie Swash.
No.
No. But we are going to go over to you now and your face back. Marky, who was on the show the other week, a lovely young man he is, said the Saint Etienne chat was really interesting. As someone that has only fairly recently moved back down to London after a decade away from the capital, the changes that have occurred have been remarkable. Also, do you exist as a Facebook person as well as a group? I'm confused. You are one, and yet you are legion. Well, we kind of messed up on the Facebook thing. We opened up lots of channels of communication, but we concentrate on the person one. We're Guardian Unlimited Music, which is no longer the name of the website. But if you type Guardian Unlimited or one word, Space Music, you'll be able to find us, and that's where we kind of update all the stuff. So please do come and join us there. Rosie, you're going to pretend to be Salt.
I enjoyed the feature on the left bank. Firstly, I never knew that Walk Away Renee was a cover, and for it to come from a harpsichord-wielding 16-year-old were such surprises. The petition to have their music commercially released starts here.
I think that's a yes. Carburns from Germany got in touch. Hello from Germany, says Carburns. Just wanted to drop one more info on the left bank. Scandinavian crooner Jens Lakeman sampled the harpsichord melody of I've Got Something on My Mind on his Oh You're So Silent, Jens album about 2 or 3 years ago, although it slips my mind on which song. They are great. Just try and search their career-spanning CD. There's gonna be a storm via eBay. Should be worth it. Greetings, Carl. Greetings back to you, Carl. Good to hear from you. Over on Facebook, we have befriended Mark Hinckley, Arthur Hextall-Smith, Mose Fanfan Sasego, Darren Pullinger, James Riggs, Dan Feeney and Mary Rantama, amongst others. And finally, this is a Rosie initiative.
So we had a poll earlier this week to say who, if Robert Plant doesn't rejoin Led Zeppelin, who should instead. Holland Jones reckons it should be MC Tunes. Jono Podmore said Professor Stanley Unwin. Thomas Helgeson recommended Craig David, obviously. Judy Hunter went for Rod Stewart. I think that might actually be a serious suggestion. Julie McKegney said Julie McKegney, which is my first
choice. No, Julie McKegney did not say Julie McKegney. She made a very sensible point that says absolutely nobody could replace Robert Plant. He is quintessential to the band.
I disagree. I like the person that you haven't put on here who recommended Frank Sidebottom.
Frank Sidebottom would be a great suggestion.
Julie McKegney for Led Zepp 2009.
Julie McKegney is going to be in there. Now, that is a result of Rosie's amazing Facebook status updates. Look out for those over the course of the week and respond if you wish. And don't forget, you can post your comments on this week's guest chat and all that other stuff at guardian.co.uk/music/music blog. That, I'm afraid, though, is about it for this week. Thank you to Rosie Swash.
are we not going to mention Portishead's other suggestion for the feature, which is Music Weekly features a serious, talented and forgotten musician at the end of the show in order to regain credibility after Tom Chaplin's shit talk?
No, we are not, Rosie Swash. Thanks to Rosie, thanks to Laura Barton. We're going to be back next week, I think, with a bit of Slash, amongst other things. OK, until then, tatty bye.